Behold, he comes. That is a statement and a conference.
I do not believe that you can be a New Testament church in the true definition of a New Testament church, because to avoid Bible prophecy is to excise out of your scripture 27 to 30% of your Bible. The Holy Spirit would never do that.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, we are playing the question and answer session from the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Participants are Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Barry Stagner, and moderator Jan Markell. Here is today's programming.
And welcome to the program. I'm so glad you could join me today. By the way, my media team is taking a much-needed break, so I'm playing the question and answer session from the Behold He Comes 2021 Prophecy Conference held recently in Southern California. I hope you find it informative. We looked at church issues as well as the importance of Bible prophecy and asked in this panel, why on earth are the churches not talking about all of this important information? So here's the panel discussion.
I'd like to start this out with something. It's not on our notes, gentlemen. It's not in the questions at all. But we just heard today Michelle talk about these are days of delusion. We actually have days of complete incompetence, at least in Washington, let's be honest. I'll be blunt. These are days of treason. How must the church be behaving today? How can the church counter delusion, deception, treason, incompetence? How can the pulpits come against this? Jack, Amir, Barry, let's start with Jack.
Psalm 107, verse 20 says, I've sent you my word to heal you from all of your destructions. The Bible tells us, Paul wrote to Timothy, that the church of the living God is the ground and the pillar of all truth. And so today, the answer is, pastors need to either be in the Word of God more or get out. They need to step up or step out. This is not a time for spiritual weakness. We are warring against invisible forces.
Yes.
It is overwhelmingly obvious. It's no longer vogue, cool, or hip to be a Christian. It is warfare. And it's very clear. It's very, very clear.
I believe that we should not make sounds of surprise. All of us, we've been studying the scriptures, and we know that that's exactly what the end is going to look like. These are the last days, obviously. And when the Bible says the last days, people will have those delusions. That we know that everything that is happening now, even the fact that for Israel to stand alone, America cannot be as strong as it used to be. So all of these things are not a surprise to any of us. These things must happen, the Bible says. For all I know, God is above time. God saw these things happening already when he sent us a beautiful email with an attachment to the book of Revelation. And he says, look, these are the things that are going to happen. Trust me, I've seen it. I know it's going to happen. So when they happen, we must tell people these are the things that had to happen. And the book of Revelation is the beautiful love letter of Jesus to the church in the very beginning, at the very end, and in between the consequences of the sinful nature of man. And they can either be not condemned, as in John 3 it says, or they are condemned already. And to be not condemned is to believe in Jesus as the only way, only truth, and only life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him, and to preach Jesus, not to preach any other thing, and to preach salvation, and to preach what it means to be a sinner, what the wages of sin are, and what the free gift of salvation is. And we have to make the name of Jesus known from pulpits more than any other name.
Peter said in 1 Peter 4, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Mm-hmm. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. And the word reproach means to insult or to injure. And I think we as a church need to change our thinking and recognize this is an opportunity to glorify God. Peter is the one who, when the apostles were beaten for Christ's name's sake, they rejoice that they suffered in the same manner of Jesus. So this is an opportunity, and I think we have to remember, especially today, I hear people say things like, the church shouldn't meet for the sake of everyone's health. Well, since when has the church only met when it's safe? It wasn't safe in the first century. We've all seen the fish on the back of a car or on a t-shirt, the ichthus symbol. Do you know what that was all about? The Greek symbols mean Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. And it was drawn in the sand as a secret symbol between church members. Why? Because they were risking their lives to be Christians. That's where the church started. So why in the world would we ever think that we're going to be exempt from that kind of persecution? This is nothing more than a season and opportunity to bring glory to God by being faithful to Him in all that we say and do.
Some quick bullet points on how to spot pastors who are starting to go woke, the progressive Christian theology. What are the buzzwords for progressive Christian theology? And I talked about a couple of them. Social justice is going to be huge. And critical race theory are a couple of things you want to listen for. Mm-hmm. I think they're maybe the two biggest, but there's many others. Pastors?
I actually don't know how to answer that because I haven't listened to one woke pastor. I'm not kidding. I don't know what the words are. I have not listened to one. I refuse. I'm very careful about what goes into my ears, and I've never heard one. I feel bad for Jan because thank God she's the watchman on the wall. She listens to all this junk that's out there, and I... And for her radio, by the way, if you don't listen to her radio program, you better start and listen, because she talks about these people, so I don't have to.
Okay.
I'm going to guess, I don't think it's a stretch, they probably don't talk about sin, they probably don't talk about repentance, they're not going to mention the cross, they're not going to mention sacrifice, I'm guessing, they're not going to go through the Bible expositionally, they'll avoid that. If they started skipping chapters of the Bible, man, I tell you what, I'd literally get out. If I started skipping verses and chapters in the Bible, this church would get up and leave. And so
they generally disdain eschatology, Bible prophecy, and they'll never, ever be a real friend to Israel. But Amir, you travel in the church more than anybody here. So give us your perspective.
Well, that's exactly it. Before I started traveling around the world, the Lord really spoke to me, and He said, everywhere you go and they teach wrong about Israel, you know that they teach wrong the rest of the Bible. Israel is like the litmus test for this whole thing. And I want you to know that even more so, they will refrain from touching prophecy. The two disciples that were on their way to Emmaus, if you remember that, they were disciples. They were not the Pharisees or Sadducees, or they were not the Romans. It was the disciples that were with Jesus for 3 years almost every day. And they were walking all the way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they were sad. And that was Sunday morning, and that was after the angel already told the woman that Jesus is already risen, and Mary saw Him alive. And what is it that Jesus said as He was walking with them? He said, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe that which the prophets have said." He basically rebuked His own disciples that when they don't believe the prophets, prophecy, they miss out the whole point of the plan of God of salvation, of who the Messiah is and what Messiah is all about. As far as I'm concerned, when they leave prophecy out and when they are no longer standing for Israel, it is the number one sign that they go woke and progressive. And look, that's the progression of the world. The progression of the believer is when they realize it was Jesus. What did they do? They turn around and walk back to Jerusalem that same night. That's the progression of the believer, back to Jerusalem. The progression of the church that is not into Jesus is to Emmaus. There is down the road to Emmaus, the road of shame, the road of embarrassment and sadness, and there's a road of victory, and there is a road of we now understand, and now we can preach the gospel. He is alive, and to add more, He is coming back very soon.
Amen. Gary?
I was thinking, as Jack was talking about, I don't listen to this nonsense either. It takes me too quickly to the phrase, shut up. So, and I don't want to go there. But I think the reality is, if we want to just throw a simple litmus test, if you're hearing more about improving your this life situation and solving society's woes than you are about being equipped to get people into the kingdom of God, leave.
Okay, I'm going to raise part B of this question, and it's not on our list, gentlemen. So then if, let's just say it's a very sound pulpit, let's say they are preaching salvation, but they would never touch the issue of the king is coming back, or they would never preach a message or even give a statement from the pulpit that we must stand with Israel, are these deal breakers? Again, let's say it's a sound pulpit, but they will not touch some important issues that we consider vitally important. Is that a deal breaker? Do we then go to the church down the street or across town? Or do we stay with a church that's a sound pulpit? Jack?
Let me be very clear before I give you my answer. Number one, you can differ on the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib because of how you were brought up. Now, I don't mean to say this to hurt anybody, but if you are a mid-trib rapture individual or post-tribulationist, you are a product of a denominational view. You did not come to those conclusions on your own, okay? Why do you say that? Now I answer the question about a deal breaker. Is I don't hold the view that if you are a mid or post-trib, you're going to hell. No, that's ridiculous. And by the way, this church tomorrow, there'll be mid and post-tribbers here getting healed. But here's the thing. I do not believe that you can be a New Testament church in the true definition of a New Testament church, because to avoid Bible prophecy is to excise out of your scripture 27 to 30% of your Bible. The Holy Spirit would never do that. The book of Revelation chapter 19 tells us that Jesus himself is the spirit of prophecy. It's the defining point by how you know. Jesus said, I've told you these things in advance, that when they happen, you will know that ego eimi, that I am. That is the self-contained, self-existing, eternal God. If you leave Bible prophecy out, I don't think you can be a New Testament church.
Amir, is it a deal breaker?
I'm not a businessman, and I'm not sure about deals, but let's put it this way.
He's Jewish.
But I am not a businessman, you know that.
This is true.
You know that. You rebuked me so many times. For you're a Jew, how can you not know that? Now watch this. How many times did you encounter people that say, we don't have any church around in 10, 20, 30?
10, 20,
so I'm
30,
saying
40
this.
Months.
So
yes.
I'm saying this. If that's the only church around, go there and take food supplement.
Okay. Good
and
point.
The supplement are watching others
online
that
whatever.
Are teaching Bible prophecy
teaching.
Because you don't get that in your church.
All right, good.
So that's what I meant. Okay. I can tell you that if that's the only church around, you do not want to say, okay, they don't teach Bible prophecy, I'm not going to church at all. Okay? You need that fellowship, trust me.
If you join me late, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell, and this week I'm playing the question and answer session from the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference recently held in Southern California. Participants included Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Barry Stagner, Amir Sarfati, and I had the privilege to host the Q&A. Let's get right back to it.
Well, let's let Barry weigh in. Go ahead, Barry.
I think it's kind of neat to think that post-tribbers and mid-tribbers are going to become pre-tribbers in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. So
that is true.
They're in for a very pleasant surprise, and no question about that. But I agree. A long time ago, when I was first getting into teaching, I heard a pastor say, stay in your own lane. If you're not funny by nature, don't try and be funny. If you're more cranial, stay in that lane. Teach through the means and manner that God has gifted you in. And, you know, a lot of guys are intimidated by Bible prophecy and these other things, but it's part of the book. It needs to be taught as you come upon it in Scripture. You can't just skip over those things because they're hard. If we skipped over everything that was hard or difficult, we'd be teaching John 3:16 every week because everybody knows that. But there are things in Scripture that are hard to deal with. And you come into the Daniel 7 and 8 and some of these things that require a lot of study and a lot of homework to understand them fully and completely, especially in light of the times that we live in today. And it takes that effort to get in there and mine those things out. Not everybody's willing to do that, but they should be. But I think the supplemental thing is important. And that's the thing we've heard more than anything else when we've been out all over the world, quite literally. We hear it constantly. Nobody's teaching Bible prophecy.
Right.
We can't find a Bible teaching church. So sadly, I think a lot of people are forced into the situation where if they're going to get fed the things they ought to be fed, they have to go online.
Yeah.
But that does not substitute for being in fellowship.
I feel led to interrupt him on this. It's so important that 27%+ of the Bible be taught. The reason why you get all these calls and emails and why we're talking about this right now is because I think maybe Dallas Theological Seminary might be left in this. Seminaries are cranking out ministers who will become pastors who've had no eschatology courses.
That is exactly right.
Listen, it's impossible to dodge that. So people are going to go pay $100,000 to get their doctorate in theology and come out expecting to be a pastor of a church, and the world around them is being prophetic, if they like it or not. It's happening.
Yes.
They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say, so they avoid it because they've never been taught in the seminaries. So that's not a good start. But the very first Bible prophecy in the Bible, so the first eschatological teaching in the Bible, was a soteriological passage, meaning this: the first prophetic word given by God regarding your salvation was a word that Messiah, salvation, would come in the future. It's Genesis 3:15. It's the first prophecy in the Bible is about salvation. You miss that, you miss both. You can't miss it. And so watch out where you go to seminary if you're going. It's sad.
Good point, Jack. This is kind of point C to this question. It would actually be number 19. I'm not leaving the topic. I think it's so important. But the question is, what do you say to a believer? And I'm going to add here to the question and say, what do you say to the believer, pastor, teacher at a church who simply isn't excited about this? Now, maybe they haven't been taught. For some reason, this topic is just not in their paradigm. So they have no interest, they're not excited. When we're living in the times of the signs, we're living at the time when Jesus literally can return, perhaps today. So a number of people here, obviously probably all, are waiting expectantly, and yet the people in their lives and the people in the lives of those texting in these questions are dealing with pastors, friends, family members who are just bored over these issues. What do you say to them? Amir, what do you say?
I want to say that the Bible says, not me,
yes,
that to those who love his appearance, he will appear the second time.
Hebrews 9,
exactly.
28.
In other words, he came for the first time to save the world, not to judge, but to those who are expecting and looking forward to his appearance, he will appear the second time, the Bible says. In other words, the believer has to have that expectation for the return of Jesus to take him out of here. And if he doesn't have it, he needs to ask himself, how come the scriptures, not me, the scripture says that we should have it if we want to see him again coming to take us. It's not my words. And therefore, I'm saying, something is terribly wrong with your understanding of the scriptures, or you never probably studied that to understand how important it is to eagerly want to see him, to eagerly expect his appearance. And you know, there's so many verses about eagerly waiting, eagerly expecting, eagerly wanting to see him again. And so there's a big problem in your Christian understanding, in your Bible understanding, if you don't have that thing. You know, I was picked up in an airport one day in Singapore by a deacon of a big church there, and picked me up in a beautiful car and says, oh, the Lord has blessed me so much. My business is blessed beyond measure. I make more money now than I ever made in my entire life. We just started building our house. In Singapore, to have your own house is very rare. I mean, it's a very small place. He says, I'm building such a beautiful house. In fact, I don't mind if Jesus will not come back soon, he said, because he wants to enjoy the house. And I realized somebody loves something else more than loving his appearance.
He's so correct. Listen to this. This is so precious. So precious, because you couple Hebrews 9:28, and listen to this. This is Paul's answer to us. It's 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there's laid up for me, listen, here it comes, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. It's pretty crystal clear.
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay, I'm going to move on just in the interest of time. And I think we've heard today about a power shift in the world that's gone from America. It's going to other World Economic Forum, China. I mean, these are the new power players. But all of these knees are going to bow to the Antichrist eventually, obviously ultimately to Jesus Christ, but before Jesus Christ, the Antichrist is going to come along and overwhelm the world. So how does this happen? Is China going to be a major player, or is she not going to be a major player? Is there time for anybody to be a major player other than the Antichrist? Or is the Antichrist waiting in a closet back here somewhere?
Not here.
Yes. It's gonna, and we're going this way. We're going this way. Yeah. But he'll come out and establish his kingdom. Go ahead.
I think the world is going to see such chaos.
Okay.
That the Antichrist will be welcomed by them to bring about the peace that they're longing for.
So China will step aside.
America has been held as the policeman of the world. You move the police, what happens? There you go.
China's.
Now, you have to understand, every rat comes out of its hole right now. You know, North Korea resumed its nuclear program right now. China is saying anyone that is approaching the waters that are being disputed right now is actually entering into our territory. And nobody is saying a thing. Iran is attacking everywhere all day long. Nobody cares. Russia understands what's going on. Turkey understands what's going on. Right now, the mice are coming out of their holes, and it's going to be such chaos that when the invasion towards Israel is going to come, and it will come, the only power that can ever help Israel in order to withstand it and survive will be the God of Israel. And there is no country, not Europe, not America, no one is going to come to help us. It reminds me of what Jesus talked to the Jewish people, if those days were not be shortened.
Yes.
So my point is, I don't think China is going to control the world. I think that actually China will have a hard time even with the Antichrist.
I don't think you can have an Antichrist with a powerful China.
Exactly.
It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
Something's going to go wrong in China. Mm-hmm. You know what could go wrong in China, and I'm hoping for this, I'm sure you are too, is the gospel. Mm. That's what's going to go wrong in China, is the gospel. Mm-hmm. Barry, why aren't you saying anything?
I was wondering who that creepy guy in the green room was the whole time.
We need to call security to see. Check the closets.
Yeah, I think, man, that was awesome.
I know.
I think we have to remember that the whole geopolitical landscape is going to change during the tribulation. Daniel talks about the Antichrist dividing the land. Revelation 17 says those who are in coalition with the Antichrist have received no kingdom as of yet. So everything's going to change during the tribulation. I think we also have to remember, China is home to the underground church, which is massive. And when the rapture happens, they're going to lose a lot of people, and they're going to be just as confused as the rest of the world, which is the opportunity for this guy to come in, this smooth-talking flatterer, and deceive the whole world into following him.
He'll come out.
Everything's going to change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah, and a mirror is so right, because the scripture says that he's going to deceive the world the first half of the tribulation period.
Peace.
Don't be fooled. Oh, no, the first part's fine. It's the second part that's bad. No, the seven are all bad. The front end, Daniel says he deceives the world by peace. So that means you want peace. The world's going to need peace, mm-hmm, and prosperity.
Yes.
So something economically has got to collapse, U.S. dollar soon, with what's happening. And there's going to be a need for a new economy. Mm. He's going to have the answer. And he's going to bring in peace, because there's going to be mayhem. Mm.
But even in those 3.5 years of supposedly peace, make no mistake, depravity will be in such level that the two witnesses, whatever they say, is going to be held as blasphemy. And when they will finally be executed, what are they going to do to them? Publicly drag their bodies in the street. And people will give to... Right now, whenever... I don't know if you've seen the footage after 9/11 20 years ago. You and I saw it. In the streets of East Jerusalem, in the Arab Muslim section,
right,
they gave candies to one another.
Right.
While the Jewish side of Jerusalem was lining up to donate blood, the Arab section of Jerusalem was celebrating for what happened. Now, watch this. Now we're moving to the future. That was 20 years ago. Let's move to the future. Those two witnesses are going to be dragged in the streets of Jerusalem. And that's the peaceful time. That's not yet the war. And yet, what is going to happen? People will give gifts and candies and celebrate the death of the people that God sent to preach. You can imagine, it's not going to be peaceful in the way you and I see peaceful things. The moral standard is going to change so dramatically that what for them is going to be peaceful, for us is going to be horrific. Now we are holding ISIS as criminals because why? They behead people. Remember, they started cutting off. In the future, that will be the practice of the government of the world. He who will not take that mark of the beast, when the beast will be here and ruling the world, his head will be chopped off. It's not going to be a crime. It's going to be the practice of the government. So we, those 3.5 first years, don't be delusioned that it's going to be something that in our language will be amazing and good. No, no, no. This world is going to be in horrific reality. Everything that we experience now, it's law and order compares to what they're going to define as peace.
Can we make clear that if you're a born-again believer, you won't see that?
No,
amen.
You won't.
The scriptures say they will literally send gifts to one another around the world. The world will celebrate sending gifts to each other. Amazon.
Yeah.
Busy. Gifts. Mm-hmm. Giving, because these two Jews are dead. Yep. These two prophets are out of the way.
Just a quick reminder that we still carry complete sets of DVDs from this wonderful event held at Pastor Jack Hibbs Church, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Other speakers were Pastor Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Michelle Bachman, Pastor Barry Stagner, and yours truly. The question and answer session is a part of our DVD set, as well as other features. We do not sell anything separately, but all messages, including this Q&A, can be found at no cost on our website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, or on our YouTube channel.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In an age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio. Are you trying to make sense of our times, as well as the issues that concern the very last days? We have brought back one of our most popular products to help you do that, Dr. Ron Rhodes' book, The End Times in Chronological Order. This book will bring all these issues into their proper order and explain the significance of the rapture of the church, the tribulation, Christ's second coming, the millennium, and the many details that surround these and all the last days events. Dr. Rhodes is one of today's finest scholars. His easy-to-understand writing style has made him one of our audience's most popular theologians. Find the book, The End Times in Chronological Order, in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or you can call our office Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We've marked the book down to just $10. Please add $6 shipping in the U.S. It is our hope to help you not just understand the times, but to have you understand how the church age winds down, as well as how the other events transpire in the end of days. You can start with this book by Ron Rhodes, The End Times in Chronological Order.
I get excited about seeing a raised hand, someone walk down the aisle or on a field and have their eternal destiny changed. And as long as we stay focused on that, we're going to be able to handle whatever comes our way. Believe me, tell somebody about Jesus today, tomorrow, the day after that, you're going to have an exciting life.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so catch Understanding the Times radio at your convenience online. Watch the video version of the program or listen to the audio at olivetreeviews.org. Then to Complete Archives on YouTube, on Rumble, on LightSource, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now here's the conclusion of today's programming.
Let's return to the Q&A session from Behold He Comes Conference 2021 in Southern California recently, held at Pastor Jack Hibbs Church, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Participants included Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Barry Stagner, Amir Sarfati, and I had the privilege to host the Q&A. Let's get right back to it.
We talked a little bit about this yesterday, and we pointed to some things that are going on in Australia. Sorry, don't mean to be picking. We got viewers from Australia, but my goodness, some of the tyranny going on there is staggering. So if this kind of tyranny comes to the doorstep of people in America, I believe it's very close in Canada, it's in parts of Western Europe, France for sure, and let's talk about believers. How does the believer cope with blatant tyranny? Now, the root of this tyranny here in fall of 2021 seems to be one issue, and that's vaccines. We're not here to tell you to take the vaccine or not to take the vaccine. The point is they're using that as a tool to come against good people, Christians and solid conservatives. How do we deal with this kind of tyranny should it end up on our doorstep, Barry Stagner? I can't repeat that. I'm sorry.
That was a long, good question.
I knew she was going to give that one to me.
We actually relinquish our right to answer and take the pulpit.
Thanks. This whole thing has been so troubling, I know, for all of us. We have to, first of all, remember the government's responsibility is to protect our rights, not our health. Our health is trusted into the hands of God. And yes, we've had wonderful advances in medicine that we all have taken advantage of. We're in one of those situations where people are making a personal health decision. But when it comes down to violating your personal rights to make your own personal decisions, I think that's where we need to start standing up. You have to remember the apostles were told not to preach in this man's name anymore. And now you've gone out and spread his name throughout the whole city. And that's when it came down to Peter and the others saying, you decide whether we ought to obey man or whether we ought to obey God. And one, when they start telling us we can't meet as a church, God said meet as a church. Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the custom of some, but even more so on the day approaching, being stirring up one another to love and good works. Now, I didn't read anything in the parentheses there that says unless there's a pandemic. So when they start telling us that we can't obey God, That's the time that we stand up against the tyranny. And, you know, Jack, you put something on Telegram about a Newsweek article about there is a group that is exempt from the vaccine mandate. Well, who is that group that's exempt?
The group that's exempt from the mandate of vaccine is the entire U.S. Congress, and the White House staff's exempt. Federal judges are exempt. Postal Service?
Yes, yes.
Postal well, good service. For them. That's yeah. fantastic. Listen.
Yeah, yeah.
I want you to think about this for a moment. I view that as an incredible insult to my intelligence. But see, no one's going to say anything. And they'll look and they're going to wait 3 days, 5 days, and they're going to see Americans didn't say anything about that. So they're going to move it to the next thing. This is who we are now. Let me tell you, if Sam Adams and George Washington came back today, they wouldn't recognize, if they spoke to us personally, they wouldn't know what country we're from.
So should we push back against this tyranny? If it comes to our doorstep, should we push back against the tyranny? So, go ahead, Barry.
Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that speaks against, listen, every tongue that speaks against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. You bet we push back. We stand up. We fight until the Lord takes us home. It is our right before God.
You guys, Paul the Apostle, and you've probably never heard a sermon on this before. Paul the Apostle told the Corinthians, by your obedience, punish all disobedience. You're not memorizing that verse in a little memorization card, are you? And yet it's in the Bible. So, well, what does that look like? Well, you mentioned it earlier today in your message about exposing wickedness. To expose wickedness and to punish disobedience means that we are walking in the light with the Lord and that we ourselves are being obedient. The scripture says that the righteous are as bold as lions. So, yes, we do. In fact, let me say this. It's owed. Our local government and our county board of supervisors and the chairman of the board of supervisors, our beloved mayor and city council, they have defended us by us exercising our faith. And look, we were going to do it with or without their approval. The point is that they stood for us and they stood up against the governor. Because you know what? We know them. They know us. We know their children. We pray for their families. We know them by name. We have a ministry relationship with our county and our city. This church supplies the chaplaincy program to crisis. This church supplies a publicly undisclosed amount of money to help the city meet emergency situations when people lose their homes in fires or the death of a mom and a dad and a child's left alone. We don't want that to be public news because Jesus said, don't let their right hand know what their left hand's doing. But the city knows. And you know what they did? They stood up against this governor to protect us because of a relationship. That is godly leadership. That's a godly mayor, godly city council. That's a godly county board of supervisors. I didn't answer your question, but I wanted to acknowledge them. For their good works.
Would you like to answer the question, or should I move on? And I can
Let's move on.
Again, this is not in the questions here, but we've considered today some specific things that we've looked at. I pointed out very specific end time things going on. Pastor Barry Stagner did the same thing. If we could summarize, let's just say in a paragraph or two, here we are in the end of the church age. Would there be one or two things we should be watching? Now, we should always be watching the Middle East. And Amir, that's why we appreciate what you're doing so much, because you're from there and you help us understand the mess over there. And you put it in easy-to-understand language, and it's so valuable. So let's set that aside, just because I want to consider a couple of other things that we should be watching as we wind down the end of the church age. What, apostasy in the church? I happen to reference lawlessness coming out of Washington, D.C. and in our major cities. Amir, what would you tell the audience to be watching? Again, we'll just set the Middle East aside for now because we want to look at some other things.
I just spoke about the fact that Bible prophecy says nothing about nations between themselves or about themselves only. There's the general concept of righteousness that every nation should practice. But in reality, when you talk about Bible prophecy, Israel, of course, the fig tree coming back to life is the major thing. But I do see the platform all around the world for the one world government, one religion, and one world economy.
So important.
So there's a global platforms that are being prepared right now. And there is the regional, and there is every person. Now, as a person, what did Paul write to the Thessalonians concerning the times and the seasons? My brothers, you have no need that I should write to you. Why? Because every true believer can sense inside of him the urgency of the time. So there is people, I get tons of emails about visions and dreams, and young people and older people, that they can clearly see the soon return of Jesus to take us. So there is the individual aspect, there is the national aspect, there is the global aspect. Add to that the Middle East, and you get a picture that no other generation since the time of Jesus Christ had the privilege to witness. We, by far, are the most blessed generation since the time of Jesus. We've seen more prophecies being fulfilled in our lifetime than any other. How boring it is to live in the 1600s.
Yes.
To live in the 1300s. Think about it. They see nothing. All men were wearing wigs and stocking and all of that, listening to... I mean, it's like we are literally watching things that I think even the prophets wish they could see.
Yes, amen. Absolutely.
So
go ahead, Jack.
I'll say this. All at once, you've got now, as Michelle said, the U.S. falling from the place of superpower, the economy, the dollar's going to go away soon, the threat of wars and rumors of wars, Israel back in the land, Israel now abandoned. You've got, the Ezekiel 38 stage being clearly set. You've got the complete breakdown in family, genderism, LGBTQ, all of this prophesied in the Bible, Romans chapter 1. You've got all these things happening at the same time. And Daniel even warned us in the last days, right before the end, we miss it. The vision is given to Daniel. The announcement is, men shall travel to and fro and knowledge shall increase. And the word means that there will be information exchanged, what we would say at light speed, and that man's acquisition of information would be exploding. This is what's happening. You have all these things taking place at the exact same time. Never before. The word convergence, perfect. It's exactly it that's happening. All the lines are coming like the detectives with all the clues, and they start drawing the lines. Mm. And now it's so amazing.
If you just joined me, you are hearing a presentation from Behold He Comes 2021. The Prophecy Conference in Southern California very recently. Participants included Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Barry Stagner, Amir Sarfati, and I had the privilege to host the Q&A. Just a quick reminder that all presentations are posted to our website under video, olivetreeviews.org, or you can look into purchasing a complete set of DVDs, visit our online store, or give my office a call. Let's get right back and conclude this Q&A session.
And again, like I said in the exhortation today, the devotion was, you can't think of a better time to evangelize people. Your neighbors are scared to death. They just don't act like it. They're terrified.
Yeah, good point.
And now you need to lay your pride aside, because let's be honest, the reason why we don't tell our neighbors is because of pride. We need to lay it aside and say, hey, listen, call me crazy, whatever, but I went to a conference, went through the Bible, and long story short, you need to know that Jesus Christ was written in the Bible of, died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the grave for your sins, and you give them the gospel. You give them the gospel. I'll wait till next week. Listen, I want to leave this with you. Can you share the gospel? Don't say anything. I'm just asking you. Can you accurately tell someone the gospel? Do you know? Because if you go to your neighbor and you say, hi, hey, do you believe in God? Of course I do. Oh, praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Because I thought I was going to have to tell you about Jesus.
Yeah.
Your neighbor
God who? What God? In America today, you have to ask what God? Because everybody believes in a God or gods. Mm. But did yours come in flesh and die for you to take away your guilt, shame, yes, and to break the grave so that when you lived your last breath on earth that you see him in grace and mercy? I'm telling you, this is the time. That's why we're seeing a global response to our four ministries. I can't even imagine. Maybe somebody needs to do this. Just these four horsemen of the... No, kidding.
And Corona, Crown.
The amount of traffic our sites get in a month combined, and then just recently with television, Fox, CBS, Newsmax, for what's happened to us, it's nuts. Why is this happening? Because Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
There's no other explanation.
In the interest of time, let's just take the last couple minutes here. Each one of you gentlemen, let's encourage the flock here with however you want to encourage them. Obviously, the greatest news, the greatest encouragement to everyone is the fact that we are the privileged generation that's very likely going to see the King coming, going to see Jesus in the clouds any day. That's tremendously encouraging news, particularly in light of here we've talked about in this little session, delusion. We've talked about the incompetence in Washington, D.C. I've used the word treason here a couple of times. We've talked about some tyranny. We don't want to leave on that note. We want to be able to encourage folks. Pastor Barry Stagner, how would you encourage, and we are running short on time, how would you encourage folks as we wind this event down today?
Well, I don't think there's anything more comforting or encouraging than to know that this life is not all there is. And that where we're going is a place that cannot be described in human verbiage. It can't even be imagined. It's a place of untold beauty and scope and all the things that we ponder and are going to experience. And, you know, Jack mentioned that old adage in his message about being so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And listen, if you're heavenly minded, you're going to do more earthly good, because you're going to want to take people with you, because that's the only thing we can take to heaven. We have a mandate from God. I believe the Great Commission is established in the Old Testament in Proverbs 24, 11 and 12. Rescue those who are drawn towards death. Hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. And then we're admonished, if we say we did not know this, will not he who keeps the soul weigh our hearts and render to each of us according to our deeds? We are here to save souls. Yes. We are here for that purpose. And listen, that's exciting. Mm. That is a wonderful and amazing thing to do, because he who wins souls is wise. Mm. And that's why we're here, to act on behalf of the Lord. And listen, I, like you, I don't find anything more exciting in life. I've been a football nut my whole life. Sometimes I'm just a nut, no football. But I've been a football fan my whole life. I couldn't care less about football anymore. They've messed everything up. But I'll tell you what I do get excited about. I get excited about seeing a raised hand, someone walk down the aisle or on a field and have their eternal destiny changed. And as long as we stay focused on that, we're going to be able to handle whatever comes our way. Believe me, tell somebody about Jesus today, tomorrow, the day after that. You're going to have an exciting life.
Thank you.
Jesus said that he's going and leaving, and then we will do greater things than he did. Mm-hmm. How come? Well, you know what? Jesus did heal the blind person, but the blind person died. He resurrected Lazarus. Lazarus died again. The point is, we were given a box full of gospels.
What'd you say?
The gospel. And all he's expecting us to do is to give the gospel, because that will give people eternal life. What is the greater thing that we can do than Jesus? It's not that, obviously, we are greater than him. It's just the fact that he left with us the most powerful pill on planet Earth, which is to give people eternal life by sharing the good news. And so my point is this. He wants to find us when he comes back doing his business. He wants to find us when he comes back sharing that. I want to encourage all of us, before we share
anything, ask yourself 10 times, am I going to share the gospel? Is that something for eternal life? Or am I going to share desperation and hopelessness and no comfort? So that's all I'm saying. We've got today, we heard about information going both ways, and it's amazing. Use it. Share. Click the share button as much as you can for the good news, for the hope that we have in Jesus. And I'm telling you, this is amazing to see in 2021 that many people sitting in one room and so many more thousands of people in more than 50 different countries watching it at the same time. And when they click the share button, hundreds of thousands more are watching as well. So use it. I encourage you. You have the power to do that. Share the gospel rather than any other thing, and talk about that more than any other thing.
Jack, give us a paragraph, please, or two.
That's all excellent. I would say, you're welcome. I would say that, read the Gospels again, just a fresh read of the Gospels, and ask yourself as you read this simple question, what was Jesus most happy about when you read the Gospels? What made him happy? And I think immediately, I think it's all summed up, and I just see Jesus actually laughing with joy when salvation came to Zacchaeus' house.
Yes.
And then it's a comical moment. It's precious. And Jesus is rejoicing that, look, you guys, he's saying, look to the Jewish disciples that were around him. Salvation has come. He too. It's like, it's very cute. He too is the son of Abraham. It's remarkable. So look what brings a smile to the heart of Jesus, and do the same. And I'll leave you with this. I've had the opportunity. Recently, someone bowed their knees to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And what led to that was not the preaching of the gospel. They knew it. A lot of people you and I know already know the gospel. But what set this person up to bow the knee was not the knowledge of the gospel. It was the authenticity or the power of the gospel. It was a big difference. Because Jesus warned us in Matthew 7, to those who said, Jesus, we did miracles in your name. We cast out demons. And we did all this in your name. And Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. And so what happened in this person's life was that there was an authenticity. Why? What happened? And here it is. Start treating the people that you come in contact with as a believer. Don't say they're a believer. That would be wrong. Treat them as though they were a brother and sister. If they're unbelievers, say to them, you know, whatever's going on in life, did you just see that? Hang on a second. Lord, we just pray for that family in that accident right now that just, Lord God, please be there in Jesus' name. And they're going to start finding out, wait a minute, this guy's living this life. It's like, it's real to him. What is this? And this individual walked up and said, how did this happen? How did this happen to you? And I said so. Start treating people as though they were a believer and watch them warm up to authentic, real Christianity. You don't need to preach to them anymore. Isn't Augustine? Didn't he say, tell everybody about Jesus Christ, and if you have to, use words.
If I could have the last word here, please, and that is, I've done a lot of conferences, and I want you to know how much work goes into them, and Jack and his team have been working for weeks, if not months, on this event. Let's thank him.
They did it. They did it all, honestly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Thank we you. Love you.
And
love
we will you, do Jack. It again. If the Lord tarries, we will do it again.
Yes. He's not going to tarry.
Amir, can you?
Yes, please.
And let's do something a little bit different. Amir is going to hold his hands up to pray because that's how it's done. Can we lift our hands up and just have this be a blessing that encompasses everyone in this house?
Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, who is the Lord of Peace, who is alone can give you that peace that surpasses all understanding. His name is Yeshua. He is our salvation. In his name we pray, and all of God's people say, Amen.
The name of this conference was Behold, He Comes, and that is because indeed He is coming again sooner than anyone can imagine. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Is your name written down in the book of life, or is it registered in the book of death? The Bible says in Romans 10 that all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Won't you do that today and make sure that you are in the Lamb's book of life? Call on the Lord today and ask Him to turn your life around and make all things new. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. It's a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this. Just remember that we have a front row seat to the last act as we watch everything fall into place.